I heard you watched the latest Space Jam New Legacy?
New Legacy?
New Legacy.
I did. I kind of peer pressured Mary to watch it with me.
Oh, the other sister.
Shout out our sister Mary. I don't know if she really wanted to watch it, but I pulled her leg, so we did. So... it was a little different than I expected, because I was like, oh, it's going to be straight up, like, remake. And it wasn't totally. So it's all about LeBron James. So they did the whole, like, okay, we're going to start with a flashback with Lil LeBron. And you're like, okay, we're doing that again. Except it was like, LeBron is playing a Game Boy during practice. And then his basketball coach got mad.
Should we say now- spoilers, or does this not matter?
Oh, I don't even... Sorry. There will be spoilers. Okay, do you guys know me? There will be spoilers. If you don't want to hear this, skip to, I don't know.
Fast forward.
And then his coach is like, you gotta focus on basketball, LeBron. You could be the best. And then he's like, I'll never play video games again. And you're like, what? These are not mutually exclusive. This is stupid. And then it recycled. Do you remember how they had, obviously, the best song ever?
Oh.
Space Jam, you know.
Yeah.
Quad City DJ. Y'all remember that bop? They did not play that song. I don't even know what song was played, but they showed like clips of LeBron playing. And I think at the time when the actual original Space Jam came out, there was no argument that Michael Jordan was the best.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I don't feel like everyone feels that way about LeBron because there's so many good players. And so it was just kind of weird how the movie was like, no, he's the best. And then in the movie, the bad guy kept calling him King James. And it made me really uncomfortable, and I kept being to Mary like, why is he King James? He's not the king of anything. This is weird. And she was like, that's his Twitter handle. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, it just like was weird that the movie was like, we just decided LeBron is the best in the world and you're all gonna agree with him. Also, everybody else call him King right now.
So wait, take a step back. So the moral of our Space Jam episode was, I have this attachment with my father to play basketball. He passes away. I do baseball. And the tunes help bring him back to his basketball game, which is a very like emotional, heartwarming story. LeBron's is don't play video games and be a king.
I think the actual moral is don't worry about basketball if you do like video games, which is the opposite. Well, because, okay, so then
it's like produced by Sony PlayStation.
Okay, yeah, like, I'm waiting for the Space Jam video game to come out because that's clearly what their intention was. This is a whole marketing ploy for a video game. But, like, basically, he has, like, a family, and one of his sons is a video game, like, he made a video game, and you're like, wow, so talented. And he's like, but you gotta practice basketball! And you're like, what? This is the worst plot point. And then there's something with, like, so Warner Brothers, like, the movie studio invites LeBron to like show this AI program that they made, and the AI program is the bad guy, and it's represented by Don Cheadle. I hope I'm saying his name right.
Do you mean Don Cheadle? Like,
oh, Cheadle. Oh my god, Cheadle, yes. So he's an evil AI computer program, and then LeBron is like, this is a stupid idea, and then he gets mad, so then he kidnaps LeBron James's son into the computer program, but also LeBron, and then he's like, you were mean to me, and then LeBron's like, what? And then he's like, I'm gonna challenge you to a basketball game. And he's like, what? And we're all like, what? And then he's like, you have to go find a basketball team in my artificial computer world. Bye-bye. And you're like, what? And then because it's like Warner Brothers, they had all these like cameos from like Warner Brothers like franchises and movies. So they had like Harry Potter World, and they have Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. And
wow, this sounds way too extra.
There was a lot of things happening. And then LeBron decided to not go to any of those cooler people, and instead goes against Bugs Bunny and the Looney Tunes. And yeah. And then the son is like, I'm gonna be on Don Cheadle's team because he said one nice thing about me and he likes video games like me, and now we're a team. You're like, what? And then somehow Don Cheadle kidnaps thousands of people in person to come watch the game in the program.
Okay, and... okay, okay. Halftime. Kate, would you tell people to watch this or not watch this? Because do you need to watch it to realize how ridiculous it is? Or is it so bad you shouldn't watch it? Like, were you mad you wasted time?
I wasn't mad because there were some parts that were funny. Honestly, the funniest part was there was this one guy who, I don't know who he was. I have to like look it up. But he was one of the people that got sucked into the program to like be a part of the game. And he's, for whatever reason, was made to be one of the announcers. There was like one white guy who was like, I'm an actual sports announcer and this is my name, and I guess people know him. And then the other guy was like a black guy that I literally did not know ever, and he was, every single thing he said was so funny because he was just like, what's going on? Like, he was like the only person that was like, this is crazy, and everyone else was like, anyway, we're here now. And I was like, oh my god, I don't know what's happening.
There you go.
So there you go.
That's our mini review.
Woof.
Woof.
Sisters, sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters, sisters who've seen it. Sisters, shooby dooby doo, sisters, shooby dooby doo, sisters, 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 sisters. Sisters who seen it.
Hello there.
Hello.
How we doing? How's it going? How's the summer?
How's the summer? How you doing?
How you doing, Karen?
How you doing? Welcome back, listeners. I'm going to introduce ourselves. So we are the Sisters Who've Seen It, the podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And,
as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
You know what? One of the first lines that he says, he goes, being a gangster was better than being the president of the United States. And I go, yes, most jobs are better than being the president of the United States.
And at this point, most presidents are gangsters. Am I right?
Exactly. Exactly. Bridge, what is our movie this week?
Our movie is the 1990 classic Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. They called us Goodfellas because, you know, you were a good fella. And I I get it, Ray Liotta. You don't gotta explain it.
No, he goes into more detail on that because he was talking about, we looked at ourselves as the good guys, you know, because like the cops and everybody else, they're the suckers, you know, we were the good guys. Yeah. I gotta find it somewhere. Oh my God. This is 2.5 hours long. Martin Scorsese does not do things short. We've learned that with his most recent The Irishman. That was literally days long.
Did you watch that?
I did, and it I think it was like 4 hours or something.
Oh my God. Jesus.
But there's something beautiful in a longer film, but it didn't feel too long when you're watching it.
Didn't.
I wasn't annoyed.
Well, and this is based on a true story.
Yes.
Which makes me also feel like this was based off of a book, and I don't know if that's true. Okay, so there was like a book.
The book is called Wise Guy. By Nicholas Pileggi, and Ray Liotta is like the main star of the book.
Right.
But it's kind of amazing how this happened a lot back then. And I'm sure this stuff happens now, and like we don't even know. We don't even know, Katie.
I don't want to know if it's happening. Keep away. It's so scary. Yeah.
Okay, I am going to take this synopsis.
Please, thank you, because there's no way I can do it.
Because I wrote down the one sentence from HBO or wherever I watched this.
Oh my God.
This movie is a drama of a half Irish, half Sicilian, which is important because if you got any Irish blood, you can never be made. Never be made. Half Irish, half Sicilian, Brooklyn boy, aka our father.
pretty much.
Initiate into a neighborhood mob in his youth and the struggle he encounters with the gang throughout the next 25 years. Starring Ray Liotta, blanking on his name, Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and basically the entire Sopranos cast.
Yeah.
And much. Which includes his wife in it. And I think Martin Scorsese does such a good job of bringing this to life. And what was so good about this is we were like kind of an outsider to like what was happening while being an insider, because this character, Ray Liotta, is in the thick of everything, but always seemed to be on the periphery, you know?
Yeah.
He never was like too far into it or like creating the chaos or whatever. He always like kind of had this like outside view. And unlike the Sopranos, I don't think you learn too much about like the tactical details of the mob, but more on the like cultural relationship, like how the community of this group of people are. And then it takes you through like 60s, 70s, all the way to 80s.
Yeah.
And how the trend at the time affected their like style of being a gangster. And I don't know. I mean, it's a really good movie. Now, I have a lot of problems with how much they rip women apart and they're super racist. And it's really, really like graphic, almost like serial killer style.
Yeah. But, Tommy DeVito. Hello. Yeah.
But there's no way to get into details with this synopsis. I think we should go by era.
Yeah.
And draw this out.
Yeah. I think we can just kind of dive in and get into some stuff. I mean, I have seen this movie before, but it was so long ago. And I realized, like many of the other times where I thought I've seen movies, I think this was one I've never seen fully through.
Ooh, okay.
So actually the very first like beginning scene, I didn't remember, but I kind of knew where we were going, because it starts off, they're driving in the car.
Yes.
And it's nighttime, and then you hear like bang, 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 and they're like, what's that? What's happening? What's going on? And then they pull over, and it's, you know, a man in the trunk who's like, they thought, I guess, was dead and wasn't. And then Joe Pesci literally shanks the man like 800 times, and then Robert De Niro shoots him more 800 times. And like you said, Ray Liotta is just kind of chilling, like, okay, what? So I totally forgot that, but that kind of sets the stage.
It's violent.
What we're about to see, yeah.
It just like smacks you in the face with how like violent they are. And then the rest of the movie, you have these like lulls that they're like really, at times, like loving people.
Yeah.
And then you go right back to them murdering people. And you're just like, whoa, it's so tricky. It's really tricky. And I watched this whole like interview with Martin Scorsese on his interest of like, why are we so fascinated with these mobsters?
That is a good question.
That are awful people, and they murder people, and they steal, and like all these things, but we're attracted to it. And he's like, I just wanted to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like didn't realize he was so philosophical. Like, I didn't know as much about him.
So you said the book was written by the guy who Jimmy represents?
No, some other guy.
Oh.
This Nicholas Pileggi. But I think he was connected somehow and based it all off of Henry Hill. Or somehow talked to Henry Hill or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I think telling it from, like you said, Ray Liotta's character helped with kind of showing that this isn't, like, super healthy. Whereas if the movie was portrayed, like, from Jimmy's point of view, or God forbid, Tommy's point of view, like, it would have been totally different vibe, because they were, like, super intertwined all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, you're right. Ray Liotta was always, like, on the outskirts, and, like, he wasn't always being, like, super aggressive. And he even a lot of times would try to talk to certain characters and be like, just relax, you know, like, don't make this into a thing. Trying to almost, like, help people out. But most times that didn't work, because everyone around you is dying. Okay.
So many deaths.
There's
so
a lot of deaths. Yep. I love in the beginning, this is not related to a death. I don't know why. It just like popped into my
dream, but I love in the beginning when he's a little kid and he's like, my first job was at the cab place where, like, what, the boss or whatever works. And he was like, he would have me park the cars. And I was like, oh no, 11-year-olds driving.
Yeah.
This is how we're gonna die, honestly. But surprisingly, no one died at that
time. It literally is like East Brooklyn, 1955. And I'm like, is that what, like, dad did
is
10
dad
years
there?
Later?
He's driving one of the cabs. Oh no.
He's like, oh yeah, the cab stand on, Boulevard. Yeah. But he says being a gangster meant you were somebody around a bunch of nobodies. And yeah.
It's an interesting mindset.
I know. Well, and then they do a good job of showing his upbringing, right? His dad beating him because he basically doesn't go to school.
He like quit school, yeah.
He quit school at a very young age. And surprisingly is pretty smart for like not getting any education.
Yeah, I hope he learned how to read before he quit, because dang.
Yeah.
Learn to do some math, some addition, subtraction. Y'all gonna need that, okay? Make sure you can do it.
He should learn about the law, maybe a little bit. What happens?
Some history, some government, yeah.
Some legislative branches.
Maybe some science for his later drug career. Okay.
Yes. Chemistry. Chemistry would have helped him.
Totally.
But I think like that was so interesting. And his dad, the way he talked about it, was so angry because he was mad my brother was disabled in a wheelchair. He was mad we didn't have enough money. He was mad he had to go to this 9-to-5 job. And so it's just interesting because he saw mob gangster lifestyle as like a way to not end up like his sad, depressed dad.
Till he was sad and depressed.
Well, yeah. And you know the lifestyle always ends in a demise, but it's just so interesting. And then he gets his first gangster interaction when they go after the mailman because they need him so bad at the cab stand. Get out of here. They need an 11-year-old so bad at a cab stand.
I just don't think they do. I mean, he's just, what he's doing, he's parking cars. I think, like, there's others. Someone else we could get, but what do I know?
But he got like the power. He got like the little power fix and was like, oh man, I don't have to go to school anymore. And wow, they stopped the mail. Like, I don't know. I was just like,
crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and I liked how they explained the reason the mob exists is he said the mob offers protection for people who can't go to the cops.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting how they're essentially the police. They're the police are the bad guys in their head, you know?
But the reason that a lot of these guys can't go to the cops is because they're involved with something illegal, and so it's like a cycle. It's like, well, I'll get you involved with something that'll make you money, but it's illegal, so you're gonna get in trouble, so like, don't
clown
up, but I'll protect you as long as you pay me. And you're like, I'm exhausted, oh no.
Yeah, I don't know how people get hooked.
I don't know. It's like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah!
But he meets Jimmy, who is Robert De Niro, pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
And he's like, oh, I remember when I first met Jimmy. He goes, he was first locked up when he was 11. What? What did he do? Did he run someone over with the car? Because I'm still amazed that didn't happen at all in this movie. And then he also meets Tommy, but he's like little. And that made me laugh really hard, even though that kid didn't say anything. I just thought it was really funny because they were so typecasty. They're like, we're going to find the exact kid actor that looks like Joe. I swear to God. Oh my God.
But the thing that was so interesting with Jimmy Conway, Robert De Niro, is they were like, Jimmy loves stealing.
Yeah.
But when he met him, he's, okay, let's say he's 13, right? 13, 14. Jimmy does not age.
Never.
When he becomes what I would say like 22, which we got 10 years, and Jimmy, whatever his skin routine is, he's got to share it, because I was like, wait, he didn't get old. The only time he got old was like the end of the movie.
He had like gray hair.
Where he had gray hair.
Jimmy, you're doing great. What's happening?
Yeah. And then Jimmy gave him some life advice. Yes. Kate, do you know what that is?
I wrote that down. He goes, never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut. And I was like, those sound like the same thing kind of, but I understand the message.
so okay.
I think that's actually the same thing.
I think you're saying one of the same. Yep.
And there's a little bit of foreshadowing that. Am I right?
Yeah. I like how they do that. Was it factual in real life? Who knows?
Who knows? But,
and that's like, again, this whole culture is like, that's part of it. Because actually in The Sopranos, take a sip every time we make a Sopranos reference.
Jersey.
That's a theme that comes up a lot in the show is like, anyone who's a rat, like, you know they're gonna die. Or if they are starting to be a rat, but it's not found out yet, then you're like worried for that character. And you're like, that character is probably gonna die if they, like, there's no way you don't come out of that okay. Or if you do, I haven't got there yet. So,
well, technically Henry Hill does come out of it. He's the one of the only ones that's alive at the end.
Yeah.
But he has to sacrifice his lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which is worse to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew he was gonna die. So,
but I also feel like, I mean, again, The Sopranos is a show, so it's very different. There are seasons. We have to keep adding characters because so many people get murdered. And this is a movie, so it's different. But I did kind of feel like this, like, mob was, like, kind of small. I was like, y'all don't have, like, 80 cousins that hang out? Like, it's just this group of, like, 10 dudes? Okay. So when he went in the witness protection, I was like, does he really need to? Because I feel like the two guys are, like, they're gone. So, like, now what? Like, who's left that's gonna hurt him? Everybody got murdered.
I said that to Mose. I was like, because I was like, okay, he comes out with, like, a movie and he's part of a book and he's, like, clearly, like, talking to people, you know? And Mose is like, oh, everybody, like, was probably dead or in jail and, like, no one's coming after him. You're like, well, hot damn.
I know. Very interesting.
Okay, so basically then little baby Ray Liotta gets arrested for cigarettes and he follows the rules. He doesn't rat on his friends and he keeps his mouth shut. And as the mob say, oh, you broke your cherry.
Hey, bada bing.
Bada bing. And I kept thinking, do they really care about a 13-year-old this much? Because they made him out to be like a hero.
I don't know. They really, like, relied on him. I really don't know how many responsibilities this little boy had, but, like, maybe he should go through puberty first.
Oh, my God.
What's happening? They literally threw him a party.
Oh, my God.
Then they grow up, like, right after that is like, okay, now we're all adults.
We get to the 60s. Yep.
So they're supposed to be in their early 20s?
Yes.
We think?
Yes.
Okay. Ray Liotta looks like that. Joe Pesci forever and always looks like a 40-year-old.
Yes, he does.
And I was like, okay, I know you wanted a kid actor in the last scene, but, like, there's just no way. Like, there, he went through some type of, like, time loop. Like, I don't know. It's just,
Pesci, like, in his life, probably just, like, woke up from puberty and his parents were like, oh, he's just like a 40-year-old. They're like, Joe,
that's how he went up in this scene. I was like, oh, God, you were, like, so young 50 years ago, and now look at you. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. But I gotta say, knowing Ray Liotta now, you're like, okay, whatever. But in this movie, I mean, he is so good looking. Like, he has just that, like,
it's the eyes.
He's got the eyes. He has these, like, cut jaw lines. But I think he was always this character that was, like, in the mix, but never really in trouble. And so you just liked him.
Right.
And he never went too far. He never was the one that, like, said the really joke that people couldn't take, or he, like, pushed people to the limits, or, like, drank too much. Like, he kind of always skirted on the lines.
Yeah.
And then basically it shoots into the big airport, like, scheme, right? This is, like, how then they get to, like, this next level.
It is.
This piece of the story, this chapter, so to speak.
But we can't skip over Joe Pesci being a clown psychopath.
Oh, okay, wait. Before we get there, because I have this line down, and I gotta ask you if you remember this.
Okay.
So, our father,
oh no,
who, you know, in the past was a bar guy, right?
Yeah.
And when you'd go to the bar, he had every friend known to man with a nickname.
It was like Cheers. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and your name is not your real name. It's a made up name.
That's
Cheers.
That's Blank the Bug Guy. That's Blank the Beach Ball because he's got a beach ball stomach. That's a Tall Blah Blah Blah. That's Louie Larry.
One guy was called Animal, and looking back, that's a weird name. So
that's a weird name. That. And in this scene, they go across the bar and they're naming nicknames of everybody. And this is Johnny Two Times.
Johnny Two Times! times I wrote it down.
Because he keeps saying stuff two times. And I was like, is this my childhood?
No, meeting it was my Jimmy, dad? It was Jimmy two times.
Oh, Jimmy two times.
Which is even funnier.
Oh my God.
So did that make you think of dad or was that just more me?
I did get that vibe with a lot of these. Because again, I was like, oh my God. It's literally like all these places that they're hanging out. Like everybody knows everybody. And like, you know, it's just one of those places.
Also, let me add one more piece to this. Every scene, they got wads of cash, right?
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, this doesn't exist.
No.
And the mob does not exist in 2021 because you know they're going to go to pay someone off and it's going to be some like uppity tech guy that's like, I only take Bitcoin. You know, yeah. Like it's going to be like, I don't take your cash. And that dated this movie. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
When cash is old news. Crazy.
Yeah, right? I don't even think I have cash in my wallet right now. So here we
okay,
are.
Joe Pesci loses his goddamn mind.
He's so scary and goes on this whole really scary monologue about how he's pretending to be mad at Ray Liotta to make another joke or something. I don't even know. I was like, so you're just trying to scare him? But then he was like, just kidding, we're friends. And I was like, I'm afraid. Oh no, friends don't do that, Joe Pesci. What the heck? But it did give us the Ray Liotta meme, so.
What is that?
You've never seen that?
Wait,
it's
what
where,
is it?
In this scene where he is like, first of all, the story that Joe Pesci's character is telling is not that funny. Like, everyone needs to take a chill pill. Everyone was like losing their
clown
laughing so hysterically. I was like, this is not that funny. But Ray Liotta is like, his mouth is like open and it's a meme.
Okay,
you've seen that.
Yes,
I'm gonna send
you
a picture of it.
I have.
Because people put like just different captions because it's just him laughing like a crazy person. And that's the scene.
And he goes, you're a funny guy. Well, what do you mean, funny guy? The way I talk? Funny how?
I would have been like, it's funny how you're somehow 22, but actually you're 62. So.
And then they'd all be like, ah, Katie! Katie, two
and then,
times!
And then I would have got whacked in the alley. So
oh, you'd get
God.
Whacked in the alley.
Oh,
but
no.
That scene, so Martin Scorsese was like, Joe Pesci, I want you in Goodfellas. And Joe Pesci was like, I don't want to be in Goodfellas. And,
Joe, no.
And he was like, no, I really want you in Goodfellas. And so he came up with this scene. Funny
oh.
how I amuse you, because apparently this happened to him in real life.
Oh my God, I'm afraid.
Because he has like a funny voice, right? Like he talks different.
Yeah.
And he's a certain height, right? So he's got this like whole spiel and he explains the story. Now, is it word for word? Probably in real life he was a little less
wait, insane. So you're telling me this was based on him actually saying this in real time to someone?
Well, he retold the story to Martin Scorsese and said, I will be in this movie if you let me have basically this scene. And like, this is derived from what has happened to me in real life, that somebody like made fun of me in this type of moment. I was telling a funny story and then I like lost my
clown
on them.
Oh. That's not where I thought it. I thought it was going to be he was on the receiving end of it. And then he was
oh.
like, that guy was a crazy person. Better
oh.
use it for my scary mob character.
Nope. That's Joe Pesci.
But do you think Ray Liotta's character was making fun of him? Because I didn't get that vibe.
So I didn't either.
Okay.
I think Joe Pesci had this constant, I have to prove something. And that was a good way to show it. And everybody warned Ray Liotta. They're like, he's kind of a bad seed. Like something's,
yeah.
he's kind of lost it. He's losing it. And then over the years you just like see him get just
yeah.
insane, just crazier
yes.
and crazier. So this was like the one like beginning, whoa, he could even turn on me, you know? And
right.
I thought like I was made with him. But so many things are just this power trip, because the reason that then afterwards Joe Pesci goes crazy is because the guy at the restaurant wants him to pay his tab and then he doesn't want to pay it.
Oh my
and so
God.
They go so crazy that then they end up like going in on the restaurant to go bankrupt, to have this whole like goods, stolen goods, crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't even follow the tactics. Like, it was not Ocean's 11. You're not learning
no.
how they're doing it, okay? You're learning
know.
How to be a gangster culturally. That's it.
I just wrote for that part. I was like, wow, this restaurant owner is a sucker. So
sucker.
Might as well milk him of all he's worth. Because, like, what are you thinking? Like, you know, you're going to a mob boss. Then they burn the place down, but then like Did they rebuild it? Because there was another tiki bar-esque place. Because I was like, this is a cool bar. I'd hang out here if it wasn't full of people that wanted to kill me every 2 seconds.
If it wasn't for scary mobsters.
Yeah, I can't laugh at anyone's jokes. They might give me a monologue about being a clown. I don't know. I don't know. I thought they rebuilt the restaurant, though. And then I was also confused and I didn't really know what was happening. But we never see that restaurant owner again. So he's just out of the movie. But this also is very quickly we get introduced to Tommy, who is Joe Pesci. He's like, I want to go on a date with this lady. She's so beautiful, but she won't go out with me unless her friends come.
Well, do you know why?
No, because she was probably like, this guy's going to kill me if I make a giggle.
No, he goes, she's prejudiced against Italians.
What?
That is the face you should make. Because I was like,
what?
Really? You guys are like literally having hate slurs. Every other thing you say. Yeah. And then he goes, a Jew broad. The hypocrisy. Yeah. Because that's how he meets Karen, who's her friend, who is also Jewish.
So I just totally missed that. I just thought the girl was like, I'm a little afraid. Better bring a friend. There's no cell phones. And I was like, smart move. Because like, whoa, who knows what's going to happen.
Ugh. And then we got to talk about Karen and how, okay, she goes on a date. Ray Liotta doesn't want to go because Joe Pesci forces him. So he's a jerk. Fine.
Yeah.
She somehow decides to go on a second date with him, which you and I would not do that.
No.
And then she gets stood up by Ray Liotta. And she gets so first of all, she cries at the table, which is just so embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for her. Then she gets so mad that she forces Joe Pesci to drive her to him. And she loses her mind on the street, which would have been cool if it ended there.
Yes, where she was like, go clown yourself.
Go and F then, yourself. Instead, she ends up literally dating him and then like marrying him. And you're like, why? Why?
Yeah, it went from 0 to 100 real fast in both ends of the spectrum. Ugh. I was like, what? How do we get here, Karen? No. I did like how they at least sometimes throughout the movie had her be the narrator because she was telling her perspective.
Yes. That was good.
Helped because if we didn't have that, and it's just kind of like, all right, this is like,
yes,
just writing off the women characters. But they did try to kind of give her like input. And she had said, she's like, I didn't really understand what was going on at first. And then I understood. And she was like, and even when I understood, I was still kind of into it. So I don't know, I just did it. You're like, Karen, no.
You're like, Karen, if only you knew what was going to happen to your name, you know, like no. 40 years later, you're just Karen. You're being a Karen.
By the way, did you see her mom in the movie was played by Carmela Soprano's mom?
Oh my God. Yeah. It is literally Sopranos.
I know. Take a sip, everyone.
Take a sip.
Sopranos.
There's also a famous shot, which I feel like you know these things, where they go on the date to the Copacabana.
Oh, the long take?
The long take. Yeah. They start in the street and they go into the back, like down the stairs.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, good to see you. Do you remember that? Like, and it's some guy in the corner. That was the real Henry Hill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He cast like so many people in there too.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a long hallway and it doesn't look like a lot of people are working back here. So I'm not really sure what's happening.
But okay, that mindset of the fact that I skipped the line, the fact that I hand cash to everybody, I get a table in the front row that didn't even exist, and like, I literally was like, is this our father? Like,
no,
like literally,
Katie,
do you know how much cash he gave to
people? He was never in the mob,
okay,
I know he
wasn't in the, like, mob, but, you know, it's just that culture of, like, he's a Brooklyn guy. Let me tell you, I didn't realize the lessons I was taught on tipping. He is a very big tipper. And the reason he's a big tipper is because Grandpa was the worst tipper. It was so embarrassed. They talked about how embarrassing it was. They would leave extra cash when he'd leave.
Oh.
And it's just that culture of like, you get the guy and you get this guy and then you get it hooked up and you know, then you got a good spot. Hey, oh, hey.
Hey, oh,
oh my God.
Well, and again, of course, to Karen, she's like, this is cool. And honestly, I would probably at first be like, this is cool. And then I would be like, wait a second.
How do we do that? She goes, what do you do? I'm in construction.
Oh,
you
Lord.
Don't feel like you're in construction. I'm a union delegate. She's like holding his hand. She's like, you don't feel like construction.
This is so
funny.
Oh
my God.
Yeah. They get married like pretty quickly. Oh, but there is that one part in between where like she gets assaulted by not even a
clown
mobster. I'm sorry. It's by like some yuppie country club boy who threw her out of a car, is how I understood it. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Okay. Couple things. I don't know why she was with him.
I don't either.
I don't know how they were in this situation where she like basically was getting like sexually harassed or assaulted. Yeah. And then, yeah, he pushed her out of the car. And I wish I knew what happened. But the point was then Ray Liotta basically like beats the living crap out of him in a really, really scary way.
And then he has Karen hide the gun, even though he only used the gun, I guess, to like hit the guy with, which I'm like, couldn't you get a rock? You know, I mean, we're outdoors. There's other things. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But like, he hands Karen the bloody gun, and that's when she goes, you know, most of my friends think I'm insane and I should have ran at this point because I knew he did something, but I didn't know what he did. Now I have a bloody gun in my hand. I know he's doing something, but it turned me on. And I feel like that was like Martin Scorsese's point. It's like, why do we care about this crazy?
But I think honestly, there are people who would feel they would do the exact same steps that Karen did.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Hashtag Sopranos, Carmella. Carmella, you know, sometimes you just get sucked in. I don't know. Bada bing.
Yes. And then the famous heist where they basically get $500,000 because they got an in with the security guy at an airport and they like just go in and steal the money.
There's a lot of like heists. And
this was the first big one where the security guy was in on it with them. So they didn't need a gun. And they were like, this was the easiest steal ever. And they kicked it back to Paulie, right? Paulie's like his pseudo father figure who stays alive the whole time. And he's looking at Henry's relationship with Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro. He's like, you know, just be careful.
Yeah,
but like,
I don't like it, but I'm going to allow it. I don't like it,
but whatever. But even in the beginning, they start to like kick it back to Paulie. So they're paying attention to the hierarchy of this gang. And eventually it starts to, when this is where the movie's hard to follow, is they start to do all their side things and not include Paulie. And then it gets a little dirty because now you're in the turf war.
I thought it was funny when, again, it's like, all right, Karen, you kind of know what you're marrying into, right? And then it's like her voiceover at the marriage, and she's like, we got so much money. Wow. I was like, yeah, girl, we got legal money. It's not yours. It's not theirs. Who knows whose it is? It's not anyone's. So.
It was like he had two families. Everyone was named Peter or Paul. Every girl they married was named Marie.
That reminded me of my Big Fat Greek Wedding. It was like,
my God.
Nick, Nikki, Nico, Nicolas. I was like, I wish they did a scene of like Paulie the boss, like just naming everyone slowly.
Well, didn't I tell you in college when I bartended at that Italian restaurant?
At Joe Pesci's bar?
Yeah, but everybody was named Frank. It was like, this is Franco, Frankie, little Frank. And my joke was, you know, and I am blank, blank, like the most Irish name ever. And I was like, what do you have? And they're like, okay, the Irish lady's serving us booze.
They're like, don't let the Irish girl in. She doesn't have the blood.
Yeah.
Italian like, blood.
She can never be made. She'll never be made. 100% Sicilian. But like, Henry, Ray Liotta grew up in a world where his new family, the only thing he knew was just doing illegal things.
He actually says that at one point, which I was like, I'm glad you like pointed that out.
Yes.
Because it kind of helps, again, like explain why someone would be so stuck in a lifestyle like that. Because you're like, it's all I know.
Yes. Your point, though, on Karen's perspective, one of my favorite scenes is she gets invited to hang out with the ladies.
Oh, no. The worst hangout ever.
Oh, my God.
It was so painful.
You know, they all had bad skin and too much makeup. A lot of pantsuits, double knits. They talked about how rotten their kids were and they beat them. I don't know if I could live like that. I was like, oh my God, Karen, if you only knew how you'd end up. You don't even know. You're getting poisoned right now.
And the next scene, Karen's like, give me money. I want to go shopping. I'm like, Karen, now you drank the Kool-Aid.
does something naughty to get money. Do you remember that?
She does. Yeah.
But this also, we eventually get into, which I really am sick of, is that they all were, like, cheating on all of their wives.
Yeah. Except Tommy, but he didn't have a wife, so I don't know. I mean, he's probably cheating on someone.
Sure, the George Clooney of the mob.
Yeah, great.
Oh, my God. But now we kick it into the 70s. So we went from 50s, 60s, and now we're all surviving, and we're in the 70s. And in my opinion, the 70s is the rough part that gets you into the really bad 80s.
Is the 70s where they connected back to the first scene with the dead guy in the car? Because that is like a big plot point.
Yes.
Where I don't even know who that guy was. He was just annoying and he was busting Joe Pesci's little balls and he was upset about it.
Yes. So his name was Billy.
So he was a maid guy because they were like, but I guess he was like not around or maybe
he was in jail. And he got back from jail.
Okay, then that makes sense. Yeah. So this is where we see Joe Pesci being more of a psychopath and he's like, oh, no, we're all friends, whatever. And then literally him. And like, I don't even think Joe Pesci's character even talked to Jimmy, who was Robert De Niro. Like Tommy, who was Joe Pesci, literally starts beating the crap out of this guy. And Jimmy like doesn't even question it. He's like, me too. And I was like, and Ray Liotta's the one who's like, I'm not doing any of that. He's like, I guess I'll lock the door as if that's gonna, what is that gonna do? I don't know. And it was just like, it was an interesting relationship between Tommy and Jimmy. I was like, I guess you guys are like good friends or I don't know. Does Jimmy just want to also like have a thirst for blood? Like what's happening?
Jimmy got darker and darker as the movie went on. And I feel like because Tommy, with his 100% Sicilian blood, could be made when he was going to be made at like later on, and Jimmy was so excited for him, I feel like you started to see like the love for each other. So I think they were a lot closer than we realized, but because we had Ray Liotta's perspective, they seemed like two separate people with two separate problems. But this brilliant scene is when they end up at Joe Pesci's mother's house.
Oh my God, what a little saint!
Do you know who that is?
No.
That is Martin Scorsese's mom.
Oh, so cute! Oh, she was so adorable! She was just like, oh, Tommy, hey, it's great to see you. She's like, oh no, you got blood. And they're all like, it's fine. She's like, great! And then she like makes him a full dinner, like a 5-course meal while the dead guy's in the trunk. I was like, this is messed up. Oh my God. Also, this was a part that I laughed out loud really loudly and I don't know if I was supposed to. They're all like at the table normally eating and then all of a sudden the mom whips out from under the table like she was hiding it there a painting that she did. What? Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
Was like surprised and Tommy was like, yeah, she's a painter. Look at the dogs. There's a dog. I like that. I was like, what is happening? Why are we looking at this?
This dog looks that way. This dog looks the other way. I like it. You know, it's got a perspective. Oh my God. So you know what I got distracted by when they were eating? Because I was like, okay, this is like pasta and Italian sauce. And Robert De Niro starts putting ketchup all over. Ew, did you pay attention to that?
No, I didn't see that.
I don't know if I saw that right, but I was talking to Moe's about it. And he's like, no, that's really important because he's supposed to be like the Irish guy. And it's like, is that what Irish guys do? They put ketchup on pasta? And I was like, what is happening? What?
Nobody does that. That is not a cultural thing. What do you mean?
Oh my God. But in that interview I watched with Martin Scorsese, apparently, because this ties back to your painting critique, that entire scene, there was no script. It was like, do your own thing, but show this painting
from under the table after you've been eating for an hour. Yeah.
So they were probably so good. And she's like, oh, I gotta show the painting. Hey, look, a painting. I mean, it's like
no lead up. Yeah.
That was very much like The Room type acting. It was like, oh, look, hi, here is a painting.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, my God.
Was to show, of course, like how just like sociopathic like Tommy and I guess Jimmy, but like mainly Tommy was, because he's like, yeah, we'll sit, have a whole meal, we don't gotta worry about the dead guy, who cares? And then he takes the knife and he's like, oh yeah, and I just need this, you know, I just gotta like whatever. And he makes like a whole thing of it, which is like creepy. I'm like, you could have just gone and grabbed it, dude. Like, this didn't need to be like a combo, but you're like a sicko, so you made it a combo and I hate it.
But it was very much like, that's his mother, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's one of their own, so she's, like, protected, and it just, it started to get so dark. You know, you're like, God, there's a lot of murders. Everyone's being murdered.
Yeah. Everyone starts to get murdered after this, because after this is where Pauly then is, like, talking to Henry, and he's like, hey, this guy went missing. You know anything? He's like, no. And he's like, sure. And then he's like, you better not hang out with Jimmy and Tommy that much, you know? And then Ray Liotta ignores everything he says and does the opposite of that for basically the rest of the movie. And then there is a lot of murder up until this point. Oh my God. And then here is where we meet Christopher Moltisanti, who is actually a Sopranos character. His name was Spider?
Yes.
I think?
Yes.
That's a weird, weird nickname.
Well, and we also, like, kind of simultaneously meet Fridays were the girlfriends, Saturdays were the wives. And I was like, I'm so bored that all you do is cheat on your wives. And I feel like that added to the, like, we're untouchable. We could have all the women we want.
I kept thinking, I was like, does this, like, need to be this drawn out for plot purposes? And the only thing I could think of was, like, it's what leads Karen to, like, get really angry. And then that kind of leads to some plot stuff.
Well, but then he buys the girlfriend an apartment.
Freaking apartment, I know. And, like, all this crazy stuff in there. I was like, this is a lot of money. All right.
But Christopher Moltisanti. He forgets to bring Tommy a drink, and then he kind of gives Tommy a little lip. And I don't know if people don't know this, but Joe Pesci's insane. Don't do that. Just get him whatever he wants. You will die. You will die.
Well, and he didn't die right away. First, he gets his foot shot at. And again, Ray Liotta is the only person who's, like, actually acting somewhat like a person. And he goes over and he's like, oh my God, he's hurt. Oh no, we have to help him. I guess I'll help him because nobody else seems to care. They're too busy playing cards. But then literally, like, the next time you see that character, then he gets shot to death. And
because he, like, basically, Joe Pesci makes fun of his foot, and then he kind of, like, says, clown you. Then Joe Pesci's like, oh, okay, and then literally just murders him in front of everybody, which, horrifying. I mean, what is Adriana gonna do?
Adriana, oh no, she's gonna be so sad. She's already sad all the time, oh no.
And simultaneously, to your point, like, Karen is like, I know about Jehoa, you better stop seeing her and blah blah blah. But every scene she'd fight, he'd gaslight her, and then she would go from, like, 0 to 1,000 and he'd run out of the house. And I was like, dude, she scares me too. I'm scared of everybody.
And, like, why can't we have the kids stay with a babysitter instead of, like, you know, bringing them around for you to yell at people because it's scary?
And this was the I think this is somewhat of a famous scene where she wakes Ray Liotta up with a loaded gun to his face,
right?
And what did he say? He goes, she'd kill me, but she wouldn't divorce me. something.
That's what he says.
Oh, yay, yay.
Which is really sad. But this leads to the plot point where Pauly is basically like, hey, I'm going to send you to Florida to follow up on something instead of, I'm assuming it was maybe Tommy. He was going to send Tommy. He's like, you know what? I'll send you instead, give you some time away from Karen. And he's like, when you come back, then you and her have to make up.
Yeah.
And then you'll be fine. And you're like, okay, that's something. But then he goes to Florida and then he goes, gets arrested. So way to go, guys.
And I loved how they were like, listen, we understand everybody cheats on their wives, but you have to stay married and you have to make sure it looks like you got it together. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
No. And they're always like, think of the children. I'm like, why the fuck do you care about children? You're literally murdering adults. So, like, I don't think you care about
children.
Them.
Don't exist in mob movies. They're just these little things that, like, show up in the camera. Nobody cares about any kids. And it's ironic because all of them started in the mob at 11. So I'm like, yo, one of your daughters, before you know it, is going to be in the mob. Like, don't you have to, like, indoctrinate these people?
Yeah, like, who's going to park your car if, you know, you don't care about the children? Because that's who parks the cars, is all the little 11-year-olds.
Pretty much. And then we see the, like, infamous jail scene where they don't have to be in, like, regular jail. They get, like, privileged jail, which I'm like, how? I don't get it.
Honestly, though, I feel like that still happens. I feel
like
there's, like, some weird hierarchy. I don't think it's a status thing. I think it's probably related to money. Like, you have a lot of money.
Well, they pay them. They pay the, like, prison guards or whatever with actually the stuff they were selling, right? They, like, would get in the drugs, sell it, and
It was interesting, too, because this is where you see Karen goes to visit him. him, and she sees, I guess, Janice's name on a thing, and then she's like, oh my god, you get him, and then that's a whole thing, but she is, like, sneaking him in stuff, but, like, it's in a public room with, like, billions of people, and I was like, is this, I don't think this is sneaking anymore.
No.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, and he's like, Jesus, Karen, and then they just, like, leave the cheese and bread out on the table. I'm like, again, like, should you break bread at this point? I don't understand.
Well, and, but it was interesting because Karen was basically like, no one's helping us.
Yeah.
Being like, we don't have money. And he's like, we'll get money. And I thought that was interesting because it, like, this whole theme of them being like, oh, you know, it's like, you're in with us, but, like, not totally because you're not, like, a made guy. And, like, oh, well, so you're like, damn, like, your second family is kind of, don't give a about you.
No, they don't. What did she say? She goes, I went to Paulie and he told me I should look at welfare.
No, wait, I think Paulie was in jail with them, wasn't he?
Was it Jimmy?
It was somebody, which again, I'm like, I don't think you guys have enough people in your mob because it's like literally the three of you. And like, what are you going to do when you're home? Not there. I don't know. It won't be a mob then. So that was interesting. And then this is where he gets out, I think they said 4 years, right?
Yeah.
He was in the jail. This is actually where Paulie has the conversation and he's like, stop hanging out with Jimmy and Tommy. He's like, please stop.
He's like, he goes from being passive, I think they're kind of bad seeds, be careful, to like, I forbid you as your mob father, and then stop doing drugs. As your mob father, stop, get that. Away from the drugs, stop doing it. Yeah. I know you're selling coke, get out of here. Cause basically we're kicked into like the late 70s, 80s. And as we know from Scarface, doing a lot of coke, selling a lot of coke, it doesn't end well.
It doesn't end well. And everything is going to be powdery and a white color. So don't have black clothing cause you're going to be found out.
Gets a new girlfriend, which is Sandy,
yeah. Whatever.
One of my favorite scenes is because of these era changes, Karen somehow starts showing the new house where it has like leopard print couches and then the Flintstones wall. TV.
Yes. It was amazing. I was like, that's so cool.
All I kept thinking about is like, who bought that house in like 2007? And they're just like, yikes. Who lived here? A mobster? It's like, they did. That was a mobster.
I called it, I go, now Henry and Karen live in a gaudy house.
Oh my god.
That's what it reminded me of.
Oh my god. And then we get a surprise actor I forgot about. Do you remember who this was?
Who?
Samuel L. Jackson.
What?
Yeah, Stax.
My mind is blown.
Yeah.
He looked so different.
He was so young.
Oh, he's a little babe.
He was a little babe, and he was not the Pulp Fiction Samuel L. Jackson.
No.
He grew into the one Samuel L. Jackson we love and know today, but this was his start.
His character didn't have a lot of, like, lines either, because he was the guy that, because this whole operation where Jimmy's like, we're going to get $1 million, like, we're going to get a score, we're like, over $1 million or something, and he has all these people involved, and then Stax was supposed to stash the truck, but then he got too high and he didn't, and then this is like what kicks off the like murder sprees.
Well, and this was an interesting scene because Ray Liotta was saying the problem with the mob is these are all your best friends, and when you're going to get killed, you don't know it because they come in like they're having a cup of coffee and then you're shot in the head, and that was literally how they killed Samuel Jackson.
Oh yeah.
And you're just like, ooh, like the most frenemies ever, but enemies.
Yeah, could you imagine like a Mean Girls and like mob crossover? It would be like the drama would be off the charts. Oh my god.
Who's the Mean Girls main character?
Regina George.
Regina George is the head of the mob.
Yes, she is.
So amazing. She really is.
Oh, we got to make that movie. That's a movie that doesn't exist and needs to be made.
Oh no.
Also, at this point, I don't know why, but because Ray Liotta kept being like, "Oh, Jimmy, it's okay. Oh, Tommy, it's okay." I literally was like, he's like the David Spade of Coneheads.
Oh no. Mob,
because he's always like, hey, don't kill that guy. Hey, are you sure? Hey, okay. Hey. You know, and you're like, oh my God.
Well, he tried to do that with the Maury guy who sold wigs. And I was like,
my God.
Maury. That's what he tried to do with him. And then they killed Maury anyway. So, you know, so it's Maury dies, Stax dies. Then there's the guy who had like a wife and he got her the pink Cadillac. He killed both of them. They dead. And then there was a guy or two guys in like a dumpster. And then one guy was like frozen in a meat thing.
Which, okay. So you're telling me this crew of people you go get your nails done with, you go on vacations with, Jimmy murders all of them, and they all don't like band together and say, we're gonna take this guy out. Instead, they're all like flicker away like bugs in the night. Like, I can't believe he killed that many people and wasn't in trouble.
Yeah, because it felt like timeline wise, it was all in like the same week. And you're like, that just seems a little obvious who's doing it. Like, this is not like a rando serial killer who just happened to pick all of you guys. What?
Well, and they all, I think it was like 6 million they got in this steal. Yeah. Everyone is flashing around their money. So Jimmy then starts killing everybody. But then eventually Jimmy just doesn't want to pay people. So he kills them.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, again, how is there not someone else that is getting money from these like mobsters for other things they're doing that doesn't want to kill Jimmy? And like,
yeah,
that never happened. He never, like, he didn't even get paranoid. People were coming after him. He was like, yep, I run the world. And I'm like, what? How did this happen?
I actually thought when they get to the part where it's like, okay, Tommy's gonna get made, and this is like built up, it's like a big thing, and then you see Tommy, like, I guess his mom like knew about it all. She's like, congratulations, your suit looks great. I was like, what's happening? Oh, no. But when Tommy then gets shot and he dead,
that was wild. Doesn't that surprise you? You're not prepared for that. That's a good twist.
I know. I like that. And then Jimmy's reaction is like Robert De Niro. He did such a great job. Like, he just has such a good reaction. He gets so upset, mm-hmm, and he gets sad. But I, like you, I thought that was gonna be the moment he was then gonna be like, they're coming after me.
Yeah.
But then no, he just went about his merry little life and, you know, didn't seem perturbed at all by that. So
crazy. And then we basically get to 80s, where it becomes the longest day ever. Liotta is like, the helicopter's following me.
It's the helicopter. I thought it was like a hallucination, and I was like, no, Karen saw it too, so I guess it's real. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know, but it literally seems like the worst day ever for him. Like,
yeah,
he screws up the guns, Jimmy gets mad, then he has to bring the guns somewhere else. Like, it is the most tedious situation where there's just lines of coke being snorted and shared, and it just ends up with him basically in jail.
Okay, and I have a question. So part of his like drug pushing business is he has recruited a lady who is a babysitter to be the mule.
Yes.
And how old do you think she is? Because
17.
Okay, that girl, I was like, Lois, are you on drugs right now? Because I swear to God, every time she would speak, she'd be like, I have to get my hat.
Oh,
I'm like,
my
Lois, where's God. Your emotions? Do you know what the stakes are? What's going on? Like, she was just like the weirdest
character.
She was so strange. And I guess the movie was like, well, she's dumb. And then she's the one that like uses the phone after he said like 800 times not to use the phone in the house. And then that's whatever. But I was just like, Lois, I don't want to see you on screen.
But she kind of like always put him in his place, like, you need me.
She's just something else.
I don't know, but the paranoia goes crazy because this like side drug business, even though Jimmy was getting profits from it and knew what was happening, that he was selling the coke, when he gets arrested again, they're convinced he's gonna rat them all out. And it kind of annoyed me because I was like, he's never ratted any of you out.
Yeah.
But because, Jimmy, you've just been on a murder spree, and since Tommy's dead, who is the other sociopath,
right,
like, if you don't act like you're gonna murder him, why would he be nervous? Like, you guys are buddies. But it's like in an instant they had bad blood.
Well, it was weird too because Karen was also like keeping in touch with Jimmy, and then there was that scene where like
Ugh.
Oh, that was so scary. Where I was like, no, Karen, use your brain for once. Come on, girl. And thank God she did. Literally, I wrote for that. I go, Karen is meeting with Jimmy now. And he's like, go to this creepy place. And then Karen appropriately speeds away.
Oh, my God.
Because you're going to be murdered.
Oh, my God. That was terrifying.
But, like, that was interesting because you're right. Like, they still had somewhat of a connection with him. Or at least she did.
But Ray Liotta, after he gets out of jail and he tries to be like, you know, we're clown Karen. You put that Coke down the toilet. I went to Pauly. He only gave me, what do you say, $3,200 for a lifetime of service.
That's it. And then I think he had to pay it back or something weird. And I'm like, again, like, don't do business with mobsters. You're always going to get the short end of the stick.
You're always going to get a demise.
Yeah.
And then he goes, if you're part of a crew, no one tells you they're going to kill you. They come as your friends.
Right.
And they always come at you when you're at your worst. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so interesting because Jimmy tried to feel him out and he's like meeting him at a public place.
And they both like went early because you're like, oh, like we're nervous.
Like, yeah. And you just keep thinking to yourself, like, you've spent 30 years, if not more, with these people. They are your family.
Yeah.
And you guys are just nervous. You're all going to get killed by each other. Like, what?
So crazy.
So crazy. But he then rats him out, right? He then is like, well, I'd rather live, which I'm like, your relationship with Karen is so terrible.
So bad.
And you don't give a clown about your kids. No. So now your life is just, you're a loser in some random clown town and you have to like go do a 9-to-5 job. And that's the worst that has happened to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, honestly, I kind of want to kill you because like, it like is so much effort for me just to live that life.
I also kind of feel like the ending could have like hit the message a little harder because it's a little abrupt. It was like,
yeah,
all right, we're gonna do this. And then he does that weird like breaking the fourth wall thing in the courtroom, yeah, which I was like, why? Don't do that. It's a weird thing. Ray Liotta, have a seat. And then it's literally the next scene is like him in a bathrobe like getting the paper from like you know, a house. And then he's just like, yeah, this sucks. And you're like, what? And then it's like, end of movie. I was like, okay. That was just like, it all happened so fast. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
He's like, everything's different. I'm an average nobody living the rest of my life like a schmuck. I'm like me and everyone else. Like,
but
sorry, we can't
alive.
All be mobsters. Yeah, right. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
But the courtroom scene when he like pointed to them as he rat them out in the court,
yeah.
I think they could have made that more dramatic.
Wish it was more dramatic. Wouldn't you think, like, his relationship with Pauly, who, like you said, he was, like, his mob father, if you will. I think you should coin that term. I really like that term.
Ooh, mob father.
But, like,
trademarks, people. Thank you, right here.
Trademark. They had such a long relationship, and, like, he just sat there and said nothing. And I was like, you didn't even, like, yell or, like, get angry. Like, they both just sat there, like, sacks of potatoes. And I don't know. Maybe that's why it felt a little anticlimactic too.
I know. I wish that's how it ended. And then like all those credits where they're like, Henry Hill is in the program. And
yeah.
He got arrested. And then Karen and him divorced. You're blah,
like,
blah.
Karen and him divorced. I was like, well, thank God. So maybe we're happy one day. I don't know.
Nobody was shocked.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
They need to make a movie, which is like what happens to them in the suburbs, you know, like I feel like Karen would be the real mobster in that scenario, and I don't even know.
She would be the adult Regina George in the suburbs. She would make her own Real Housewives TV show.
But like, do mobs still exist, or are they gone? I don't know anything.
Sure, to some degree, there's got to be something similar, but I honestly don't think it's how this movie portrays it, and I don't even think it's how the The Sopranos and this are like so similar, but I can't imagine that's like a thing anymore. But maybe I'm soups ignorant because I don't have a mob father.
If only we had a mob father.
A mob father. Hey, hey, yo. Well, Bridge, would you watch this movie again? Watch it or don't watch it? What do you think?
Watch it.
Yeah. I would also watch it, especially if you haven't seen it. You gotta watch it at least once. But am I gonna rewatch it anytime soon?
No.
Probs not.
It's long, so you have to really be in the mood for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bridge, I finally... got a dad quote.
Ooh!
Yes. Yes, I did. So I sent it to you.
All right, here I go. Gonna play it in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So, I know you like this movie.
All right. You didn't give me any warning. So.
All right, so our movie this week is Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Uh-huh.
Good, good.
Good. Very so, good.
You, oh. What do you want? Something funny from me?
Huh? You amuse me?
Wait, what do you think? What am I, a clown?
Oh my god, that's so scary. Huh? Okay, on a side note, Bridget and I were wondering, were you ever involved with the mafia in
Brooklyn? No.
Okay.
And would I tell you if no?
Ah, there it is. Okay. No.
Once you're in for life.
Oh, no. I had to ask.
Amazing. Oh, my God.
Well, Kate, it's that time.
Oh, boy. I love that time.
Are you ready for that time?
Yeah, I am.
So, Kate, I've been in super duper Olympic mode.
Oh, boy.
The Olympics just kicked off.
Yes.
A lot of scandals.
I know. It's like never ending.
But still, I love the athletes. I'm obsessed with all the sports. And there are new sports this year, Kate.
There are.
And part of what I was inspired by, as always, I read your list, is one of the new sports. Now, typically, I know that sports movies are for me, but you had this on your list.
Oh my god, I hope it's what I'm thinking. Because
okay.
There was a new sport that was added that I was like, I am so excited to watch that.
Well, now you're making me think of another movie that would be equally as good.
No, go with yours, go with yours.
Okay, because actually, I think we could eventually do both. But this movie is from 1984. Oh, you weren't ready for this.
No, that's not what I was thinking at all.
I think this movie is what inspired Three Ninjas. I think
okay.
We are watching the one, the only, The Karate Kid.
Hi-ya! Oh, that's totally not what I thought you were going to pick.
Were you thinking surfing?
I was thinking surfing.
Oh, I want to do... Okay, I want to do that one really, really bad because I really want to see that movie. But karate! Karate is a new sport.
Oh, Daniel-san! Oh, and he's from Jersey!
Hey!
Oh!
Swipe the leg, Johnny!
Swipe the leg! This is another one. I have not watched this in a long time.
Yeah, so let's get our sports up. Am I right?
Oof. I love it. I love it. Well, that's good because sometimes we get lost in the 90s because it's the best. So I'm ready to go to the 80s.
Hell yeah.
Oh, good pick, Bridge. I'm excited. I'm Mr. Miyagi, who kind of is like the grandpa from Three Ninjas, but he's the OG. So
he's the OG, is right.
Yeah.
So let's enjoy this martial arts drama film.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, and Bridge.
Yeah.
I just want to say, if you were... Oh, there's a lot of things I could say. if you were in jail and you were trying to do a little side business on the inside, take care of yourself because you're a hustler, I would sneak you in all of the like meats and cheeses and crackers and maybe even some veggies and fruit. I don't know where I'd hide them.
A charcuterie board?
A whole charcuterie board would be in my shirt and I would just take it out and it would already be pre-made. It would be just for you. In jail.
Wow. Kate, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Kate?
Yeah.
If you went on a murdering rampage and was stabbing people and then we had to go to mom's house and she tried to show us her painting, I would throw it in the garbage for you.
No, because you know, of our parents, that would be something dad would do. He'd be like, look at this puzzle I finished. You're like, no,
dad.
No, what's happening? Oh, I love that. I love that. And listeners, if you also love charcuterie and are afraid of Joe Pesci's character, and you were confused by the random painting scene.
Ooh.
You should write us a review.
Hey,
we love reviews. We love written reviews. You can review us on Apple Podcasts and then some other podcasting apps. You can also leave a review. We also have a website, sistersuseenit.com. If you go down on the main page, there is a form you can fill out to request a movie. And I am the worst, and I didn't really point this out in the beginning of the episode, but this movie was a fan pick. This was picked by one of my best friends, Christine. Shout out, Christine.
Christine, you're the best!
Christine is very Italian, and I've just been talking her ear off all the time with The Sopranos, so, you know, we had to do the Goodfellas, so I hope we did justice, Christine.
Christine, we got some Irish blood, but will you let us be made with you, please?
Let me be made. About it. Come on, bada bing. So listeners, that could be you. You can request a movie on there. And Bridge, what else can they do on our website?
They can buy us coffee.
Yes.
Now, not the kind of Henry Hill coffee that's got a lot of the white powder that is not allowed and sends you to jail. I mean Dunkin' Donuts or other fun stuff. basically, it's money. Money helps us keep going because this is a lot of work for Katie, as you all know, for Katie. So yes, and we so appreciate it. And it's just fun. It's fun. It gives us validation. You like what we're doing and we'll keep going.
Yes. So check all that out. And yeah.
That's it.
That's
it. So listen, as far back as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a nostalgic podcast movie reviewer. I didn't know where I was going. I got there.
Being a nostalgic podcast movie person is better than being the president of the United States. Which, kind of. A little bit, so.
You know, we were the good podcast. It's not like the other guys, you know? You know, but that are basically guys, because, you know, there's only, like, two female movie podcast reviewers, so.
Yeah, where are the rest of you? We're so lonely. Oh, my God. All right, listeners. Well, we'll see y'all next week for Karate Kid. Hi-ya!
Olympics? Nothing compared to Mr. Miyagi.
I was like, yes? Go on.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, love you. Bye-bye.
Don't join the mob. You'll die. Bye-bye.
You'll die in the mob. Bye-bye.
You'll die in the mob. Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sistershoseenit.com, where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week!